Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. It's always an honor, amen, to be in the house of the Lord with God's people and to enjoy His presence, enjoy the blessings of God, to worship Him, to magnify Him, and what a beautiful day to come together on a Father's Day to worship our Heavenly Father. Amen. Our Lord and our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad to see all. And once again, so good to see Brother Williams and Sister Williams here this morning. God bless them. Good to see all of you. I see many, amen, happy faces. Good to have the Latimers here today. Amen. God bless all of them. And I see some young couples here. Amen. Good to see all of you. And good to have our campers home. Not only our youth campers, but good to have our dads and lads back. Amen. With us this morning. We had a wonderful camp out. And it's good to feel close to nature. I was a little closer the next morning than I was when I started to nature. We had a wonderful camp out, but I got a little closer to the ground as the night progressed. And the air began to slowly leak out of the mattress, but it was a wonderful time. We discovered what we have a cook among us. I'm so glad Brother Jeff Adams was there and served up a hearty breakfast. The next morning, we just had a great time of fellowship, and I can't wait till the next one. The time that we can get together, dads and lads and brethren of like precious faith. Amen. It's good to be able to camp out with godly men. Amen. Enjoy wonderful fellowship. Praise the Lord. And to know that God, amen, God is with us and that He goes before us. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, we want you to stand with us. And we're going to go to the scripture today. We'll be reading in parallel on the screen Matthew 14, 34 through 36 from the original King James translation. And also we'll be reading from the New King James as well. And so you'll be receiving the word of the Lord in parallel this morning. But we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 34. And our subject today is the power of holiness. We spoke not long ago on the beauty of holiness. And holiness is something that is beautiful. But holiness is not just a pretty dress. It's not just window dressing. It's not something just to be admired, although I do admire holiness. Amen. I think holiness is beautiful. There is so little holiness in the world today that when we are among people who honor holiness and love it, that it is a delight. But there is another aspect of holiness, amen, that's far more important than the outward. Far more important than that we can examine with our eyes and behold, amen, with our fleshly being. But there is a power of holiness, amen, that I want us to discover together today from the Bible. Matthew 14 and beginning with the 34th verse, the Bible says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly whole or perfectly well. in their body. Hallelujah. That I thank God that we still serve a God today. Amen. That is all powerful. We still serve a God who is moved by the feelings of our infirmities. A God that wants to intervene in our lives. Amen. Because He is holy. And because He is righteous. And He cares about you and I. Let's go to the Lord in His throne today. Lord Jesus, we come before You today, God. Lord, we find delight, Lord, in Your presence. Lord, that we find joy and peace in our soul, Lord, because of Your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. God, that we look to You, O God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that You might perfect in us, Lord, a spirit of holiness. That You might perfect in us a reverence, O God, for all that is pure. And all that is sanctified and set apart for Your service. God, we pray, Lord, that in everything that Your name and Your honor might be exalted. And we pray it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and you may be seated. That a Jewish rabbi, in hearing a sermon some time ago, heard a sermon about touching the hem of Jesus' garment. There was something that caused those who touched Him to receive power and virtue. The Bible says that in this particular passage of Scripture, that when the men of that place, Gennesaret, which was on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, when they recognized who it was that was in their midst, they began to spread the word throughout the region that anyone who was sick, anyone that had infirmity was to come. And so they brought to Jesus everyone that had need. And they beseeched Him. They pleaded with Him. They begged Him that they might touch the hem of His garment. What was unique, what was different about the hem of His garment? The Bible tells us that it was commanded of God in the Old Testament that they should wear a tassels or four tassels upon their garment. If you want to go to the book of Numbers with me, let's look to the Old Testament to gain a little bit of a grasp or understanding about the significance of the hem of His garment. The Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter and the 37th verse, that God gave some instructions to Moses that were of great value. That He said to Moses, I want you to speak to the children of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments. And now I want you to pay particular attention in verse 40. And be holy for your God. For I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And everybody said, and be holy. That when you look and you see that blue ribbon or that blue thread in the tassels on the hems of your garment, you will be reminded that you are a holy people. That I have made a covenant with you that you might keep my law and that you might keep my testimony. That you might not follow the harlotry that is in your heart. That you might, amen, be in love with me. And that you might put me, amen, in the very uppermost part of your life. That you might make me your God. And that you might serve me and me only. Because I've called you to be a holy people. And I am a jealous God. And I want you to be a marked people. That when you see the tassels upon the hem of your garment, that you might remember my word. And that you remember to be holy for your God. Praise God. And so that hem upon the garment of Jesus was not just merely something to adorn the garment. Oh, it did adorn it. It made it beautiful. Those tassels that hung down upon it. And they had woven into the tassel that beautiful ribbon of blue, which represented the holiness of God. The Bible says that the Pharisees, that they prided themselves in wearing the tassels, and they made them extra large tassels that stood out because of the pride that was in their heart. They wanted men to look upon them and think in themselves, those are holy men of God. But I want you to know that holiness is not something that we are to parade. That it is not something that is to be ostentatious. It's not something that we wear as a badge of pride and self-righteousness to bring condemnation upon the world. Amen. It's not for the world to see so much as it is to remind us that we are called to be a holy people and that we serve a holy God. Amen. We need to be reminded that in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Amen. We don't boast of our personal righteousness. We do not, amen, boast of anything of ourselves. Because if there is anything good in me, if there's anything good in you, it's because of the work and the power of the Spirit of God that He has endued upon us. Amen. If there is to be any glory, if there is to be any honor, if there is to be any praise, it ought to go to Jesus, for He is holy. I said He is holy. Holy and reverend is His name. And so when they saw that ribbon of blue, it reminded them of their need of consecration to holiness and to separation. Amen. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. It might not have been the style. It might not have been the fashion. Amen. Of Hollywood or Paris. It might not have been the fashion of Babylon. It might not have been the fashion of Egypt, but God told His people, the garment that you wear, you're not wearing them to please the world. You're not trying to blend in with the nations around you. But I want all of my people, amen, amen, to wear a garment that reminds them that we are a holy people, that we are a consecrated people. that we're a called people, and that our God is a holy God. Can you say praise the Lord? It wasn't meant to be, amen, just something to be stylish. It wasn't meant to be, amen, in accordance with the patterns of the world around them. Amen. They were going to establish, amen, a new trend. It wouldn't it be something if in the world that we lived in that the trend of fashion was holiness? Wouldn't it be something if the designers in Paris and New York and Dallas, and if they decided that fashion should be something, amen, that reminded people of their separation and their holiness unto a holy God? They'd have to take away about 90% of what they've got hanging on the racks. Hello? But God said, when you cover yourselves, amen, in Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter in the 12th verse, he said, in the garments that you use to cover yourself. Amen, amen, amen. Our garments are meant to cover our nakedness, not to expose it. Amen. If it wasn't for the sin in the garden, amen, we'd be walking around naked. But they were ashamed that they were naked. And God put some clothes upon the man and the woman. Hallelujah. The purpose for our clothing, amen, is not so that we could parade around and look good. Amen. It's a covering for the nakedness. That was a result of our sin. Amen. That caused the heart of man to become corrupt. Amen. To desire things, amen, that were not compatible with the purpose and the will and the mind of God. But God said, when you cover yourself, I want you to remember the tassels upon the hem of your garment. And every time you look down and you see those tassels, I want you to remember that you're different from the rest of the world. You're different from the nations around you because you are called to be holy. Because I'm holy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus wasn't the only one that was walking around, amen, with tassels on the hem of his garment. His garment wasn't the only one. Amen. That was in accordance with the teaching of the Bible. There was a lot of people that were walking around looking holy. The Pharisees prided themselves. In fact, amen, they made their tassels excessively large, the Bible says, so that people could see that they were holy. They wanted to somehow magnify the fact that they were different. Now, there's nothing wrong with being different from the world. But there's something wrong, amen, if our attitude and our spirit, amen, is to boast of our own righteousness rather than to give glory and honor to the God of righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't the only one walking around with tassels. But they weren't seeking out, amen, to touch the hem of the garments of the religious leaders. I don't read anywhere in my Bible that they were searching, amen, that they might touch the hem of the garment of any of the other people of that day. Amen, even though they too, amen, were masquerading in holy garments. They looked holy. Amen, Jesus said, on the outside you look, amen, you look good. But he said, you're nothing but whited sepulchres. You're full of dead men's bones. You go across the land and across the sea to make a proselyte, and you make them twice again, amen, a child of the devil, amen, because your heart's not right, your spirit's not right, your attitude's not right, amen. You're full of pride, you're full of arrogance, amen, you're full of haughtiness, your spirit is an abomination in the sight of God. The Bible says that God hates a proud look and a haughty spirit, that there are a stench in his nostrils, amen. But there was something about Jesus. The Bible says he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's not our responsibility, amen, to go around making people feel bad about themselves, but it's our responsibility to tell them about a God that's able to save them and to transform them and to give them joy and peace. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, that in the last days that there will be the men who have a form of godliness. And that word in the Greek language that is translated godliness is eusebia. And that word eusebia is translated in Acts chapter 3 and verse 12 as holiness. Where Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Hallelujah. You know what makes God's people a holy people? Amen. It is our consecration to God. It's spending time in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's getting down on our knees and crying out to God, amen, that he might cleanse us and he might purify us and he might make us acceptable in his sight. Hallelujah. The only thing that makes a man holy, amen, is the Spirit of God that is revealed in us. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit of God that leads us and directs us and allows us, amen, to demonstrate his love and his mercy and his grace. Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And they looked at a man and he looked to them. And he desired alms of them. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Amen. If we've got the kind of holiness, amen, that the New Testament church had, it's not just something that looks good on the outside. It's not just something, amen, amen, that is to outwardly demonstrate that we're a separated people. But they were truly a people that were separated unto God in prayer and fasting and the studying of the Word of God. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. If we're really holy, if we've got the Spirit of God within us, there's going to be something in us, amen, that wants to share what we've got with the world. We're not going to hoard it under ourselves. Amen. The Holy Ghost was not given so that we could shout and dance and run the aisles every Sunday and every Wednesday. Amen. It wasn't given so we could go to camp meeting once a year and enjoy the presence of other people of like precious faith. But he said, I've given you my Spirit that you might receive power to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. If we are holy like he's holy, we've got something, amen, to give to the world. Hallelujah. And we've got something that the world needs. Amen. And we owe it to the world. Amen. To give them what God has been willing to share with us. Because we've been anointed of God. Amen. We've been endued with power from on high. Amen. To preach this gospel. Amen. And to heal the sick. To raise the dead. To cast out devils. Amen. Because this word was with power and authority. Hallelujah. He went everywhere preaching the word. And God, the Bible says the apostles went everywhere preaching the word. And God confirmed his word with signs following. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe it's the word of God? You believe God has the power? You believe God has the authority? Hallelujah. You believe God is sovereign over his own will? Hallelujah. Then let's have a sovereign move of God. And let's just let God, amen, do what God wants to do. Let God heal who God will heal. Let God liberate who God would liberate. Let's quit picking and choosing. Let's quit, amen, trying to dictate the terms to God. And let's just preach the word of God and leave it up. Leave the results up to the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that God confirmed his word with signs. Following. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you say, praise the Lord. I'm talking about the power of holiness. Amen. The last days, amen, some would have a form of godliness or a form of holiness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. Amen. God forbid that we as Pentecostals, amen, should become an empty suit. God forbid that we should look like Pentecostals, talk like Pentecostals, but not have a Pentecostal move of the Holy Ghost. God forbid that we preach about healing, but we never experience the divine authority of God, amen, to heal and to save and to deliver. Hallelujah. Amen. God forbid that we look like, amen, we're holy, but inside, amen, we're full of dead men's bones. Amen. I don't know how many people, amen, that have died spiritual deaths. Amen. Because somebody said something. Because somebody took it upon themselves, amen, to tell them that they didn't look right, or they didn't act right, or they just wasn't quite, amen, up to par, amen, as far as their personal standards or convictions are concerned. I don't want to look good, amen, only to be full of dead men's bones. I don't want to be guilty of sending people to a devil's hell, amen, because of a spirit of judgment, an attitude of self-righteousness that condemns but doesn't give them, amen, an answer of how they can live above sin and be victorious. Amen. We need to give the world answers. Amen. We need to show them by example. Amen. If you're going to talk holiness, amen, then you need to live holiness. If you're going to talk about separation, amen, then don't, amen, indulge in the pleasures of sin. If you're going to be holy, then acknowledge that holiness is of the Lord. And in you there is nothing that's to be desired. In you there dwelleth no good thing. Don't put down somebody else because they stumble. And beyond that, don't be a stumbling block to other people that are trying to live for God. Amen. The Pharisees looked the part. They talked holiness, but they were guilty of putting burdens upon them, other people, that they themselves would not even put a little finger to lift. They made it so hard to please God and that they weren't even able to live up to their own standards. Sometimes we set such high platitudes for ourselves that when we see that we can't measure up to our high ideas, We have ideals that we want to attain. And when we don't measure up to that ideal, amen, that we just feel like throwing in the towel. I've seen new converts come into the church. Amen. And just because they weren't perfect, just because they stumbled a couple of times, amen, somebody, amen, led them to think that they weren't worthy of the grace of God, that they might as well just throw in the towel. I want you to know that's not the grace of God. That's not the spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a God of second chances. He's a God, amen, that does not desire to see anyone perish, but that all to come to eternal life. Hallelujah. The Pharisees were the first ones to criticize and condemn. There's an old adage that any fool can condemn or criticize and condemn, and most fools do. Amen. But Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" Was she guilty? Absolutely. She was caught in the act of adultery. But when Jesus said, "He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone." How many of you, amen, walked right and talked right from the day that you were born into the kingdom until now? Is there anybody here that's never stumbled? Is there anybody here that's never said a word that you regretted? Is there anybody here, amen, that could have done a little bit better? Amen, if your spirit had been right, if your attitude had been right, if you'd been more in love with God, amen. There's none of us, the Bible says, amen, that nobody, amen, can say that I'm without sin. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Amen. Jesus said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked around. Now the church had left. Who were church-going people? They believe in enforcing the law. Amen. Sometimes the church is part of the problem, not the solution. Amen. We're not to condemn the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you don't have any need any man teach you, but the Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost will guide you. Amen. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. You don't have to have a book, amen, 1,000 pages thick, amen, and just as boring, amen, but all you need is to fall in love with the Word of God and have the Word of God in your heart and have the law of God in your mind, amen, and God will give you strength and God will give you grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have a form of godliness or holiness. That word is found in 2 Timothy 3:5 and Acts 13:12. The first instance, it is translated as godliness. In the second place, Acts 3 and 12, it is translated holiness. Amen. When that lame man, amen, heard the words of Peter and John, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That was a transfer of power, amen, from Peter and John that went into that man. And he got up, and he began to leap, and he began to praise God, because something miraculous took place in him. And when he looked upon them, when the people looked at Peter and John, Peter said, "Why do you look upon us? Why are you standing here in amazement?" It shouldn't be an amazing thing, amen, to see people healed and delivered in our services. It shouldn't be, amen, amazing that the power of God, amen, actually moves in our services. It shouldn't be amazing that God actually comes to church sometimes. It ought to be the rule, not the exception. It isn't my church. Amen. This is the house of God. We're the people of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If we'll get out of the way and let God take charge of the ceremony, hallelujah, then things will begin to happen. Amen. That are a sovereign move of His mind and will and character. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get so involved in programs and protocol. Amen. And doing it a certain way. Amen. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to have three songs and testimony. Well, hallelujah. Sometimes God just comes down and gloriously begins to move and interact among us. Hallelujah. Silver and gold have I not. As such as I have, give I thee. Peter said, why do you look upon us as though by our power or our what? Or by our holiness that this man stands before you whole? It's not our holiness, it's His holiness. It's not His power or our power, it's His power. Holiness is not just an outward form. The Pharisees wore hymns upon their garments, much like the one that Jesus wore. But their spiritual pride betrayed their inward need for spiritual healing. It wasn't the garment that made Jesus holy. You listen. It wasn't the garment that made the difference. Amen. Was it necessary? Absolutely. It was commanded in the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're to be modest. We're to be holy in our dress. But it wasn't the garment that made the difference. Hallelujah. But I read in the 9th chapter of Matthew, the little woman with an issue of blood. A woman who had spent all of her money on the doctors and was no better. She said within her heart, if I can just but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she established a new paradigm in the kingdom of God. It's time for us to establish some new paradigms in the kingdom of God. Some new expectations. Hallelujah. You usually get exactly what you expect to get.
All right.
If you expect a blessing, you'll get a blessing. If you expect to be healed, you will be healed.
All right, come on.
If you expect to receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive the Holy Ghost. If you expect to fail, you will fail.
All right. That's right.
Amen. She established a new paradigm. She said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. That's the first example in the Bible that anyone touched the hem of somebody's garment and was healed. But the moment that she touched the hem of His garment, the Bible said that virtue went out of Him.
Yes.
She tapped into the source. It wasn't the garment that made the difference. But it was the one, amen, that possessed the anointing.
Yes,
Jesus had anointing upon Him. Amen. That was special.
Yes.
He had an anointing that was able, amen, to set the captive free.
Right.
He had anointing, amen, that was able to heal the blinded eyes. He had an anointing that was able to heal the brokenhearted. Come on now. He had an anointing that was able to make the lame leap for joy. And she tapped in to that anointing. If we have the anointing that God, amen, has put upon us, if we'll walk in that anointing, if we'll walk, amen, in the holiness of God, amen, that miracles and signs and wonders will follow. They had heard about Jesus. And the Bible says as soon as they recognized Him, they begin to send out the word. In the early days of Pentecost, amen, when they had set up the tent, Hello?
Yes.
Amen. They expected miracles were going to happen.
They did, yes.
They expected, amen, people that were blind that they were going to see. They expected paralytics to get up out of wheelchairs and walk. They expected a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost to fall. Amen. And men would begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And they spread the word around the world. Amen. And they began to gather and things began to happen. Because they recognized the people of God. Do we still identify with the people of Pentecost? Or do when people see us, do they see those people that think they're the only ones that are going to heaven? Those are the people, amen, that condemn and criticize everybody else. Amen, because they don't dance like they dance and walk like they walk and talk like they talk. When they see us, do they identify, amen, with the God of miracles? Do they gather their sick and their infirmed? Do they bring the halt and the lame? Do those that are heart sick and heartbroken come to our churches looking for love and compassion and mercy and grace? Or do they run as far as they can run and hide for fear, amen, that we're going to judge them and condemn them and criticize them and make them feel worse, amen, than what they are? Amen. When we come to the house of God, amen, it's a healing house. It's a house of salvation. We don't come to the house of God to make people feel bad. We don't come to the house of God to condemn the sinner. Amen. We don't come to the house of God, amen, to find fault with one another. But we come to the house of God that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost might draw them, amen, to an altar of repentance and salvation. Amen. There's a power in holiness. Holiness is power. Holiness is authority. Holiness is the love of God. Would you stand today? There's no power like His power. There's no love like His love. There's no anointing like His anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Amen. But if there is an expectancy in your heart today to experience the Pentecost of the early days, if you want to experience old time Pentecost, if you want to experience the Brush Harbor days, amen, without the Brush Harbor, amen, this is a house of God. He's a holy God and His Spirit desires to come upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's begin to praise and worship the Lord right now. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and lift up Jesus.
In the name.